this past week or past week and a half, I've been reading different places, and I find that there's a recurring theme in some camps. I guess it could be qualified on one particular article that I read. It was titled "Counting Nickels and Noses," and in the article, the man puts forth the notion that there is and has been, from where I'm sitting looking backwards, but there is now a resurgence of the mindset that in order for a ministry in our day to qualify or to count as being useful, fruitful, and effective, they have to be able to demonstrate a certain degree of numerics in their ministry. Now, that's always been an undercurrent for past 30 years or more, and long before I ever was on the scene, that was a favorite topic of some guys. And for the most part, I think has been laid aside until recently. And I got to thinking about that and trying to box that up in biblical fashion. And I find that when you look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, there's a balance that is presented in the Great Commission. And it seems to be those who count nickels and noses, they seem to weigh heavy on the front side of the Great Commission and pay little, if any importance or any weight at all on the, probably the most important part of the Great Commission. Let me show you what I mean. In Matthew 28, we read, "Jesus came in verse 18 and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, the front side of the Great Commission is encased in verse 19. In verse 19. That is the going part. The 19th verse says, "Go and teach all nations." Literally, make disciples in every nation. "And baptizing them." Now, you understand that there are people who continue to this day, as they have for as long as I can remember, the Billy Graham, Bill Bright evangelism motif, where a message is preached, a gospel invitation is given, and there is an urging for a physical response on the part of the hearer to a spiritual command. There seems to be a reliance upon the energy of the flesh or the human instrument rather than the Spirit of God. And so again, the hearer is asked and urged, sometimes with great pathos and with great energy, to make a physical response, either the raising of the hand or the getting up out of the seat and coming to a place in the front of the church, praying a prayer of a certain manufactured kind, and then being whisked off to a counseling room, and they're discipled, prepped for baptism. Now, some churches, when that happens, will baptize the individual the very same day that they arrive at the front of the auditorium, believing that to be scriptural. Now, it's not my place tonight, nor is it my purpose tonight to take issue with that. That's other fish to fry, if you know what I mean. If somebody wants to get in that wagon train, that's fine. I'm not really caring. But all I'm pointing out to you is that there seems to be, on those who count nickels and noses, a great emphasis on verse 19. And they lose the perspective entirely of what is taught by the Lord Jesus in verse 20, where it says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." There is a greater emphasis on filling out the lumber or the furniture in every auditorium without due regard for the perseverance or the systematic indoctrination and the building up of the saint once they come to Christ. And so you say, well, all right, are we just talking essential philosophic or theological difference? What really difference does it make? Well, basically the differences it makes, as you've seen over the past 4 or 5 decades, is it tends to fill the churches with Simon-like converts. Simon-like, a reference to Acts chapter 8, where he did outwardly and physically the things typically that would be part and parcel of a person who was converted to the faith. But in all reality, there was not really any substance there, and he was found to be a fraud. And so it is, again, observed in many circles that the modern day church is basically now reaping in the end of the church era the bad seed that was sown in that evangelistic construct, where there is a weighted evidence on the going and the evangelizing, but there is not significant weight upon the teaching and the instructing that is systematic in nature. Now, when you come to Romans chapter 1, for example, let me share with you on this. There's another light to this. In verse 16, the apostle says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we shouldn't be either. We shouldn't be either. I was talking briefly on the phone with Byron Shear tonight, and I'd asked him about his son, Andy, who in his first pastorate came out of the business world, entered the pastorate, very capable young fellow. I don't think would exactly sing and do what would make his Uncle Dan happy, but he's a great kid. But he had a rough go in his first ministry. And he was, Byron was comparing that ministry with the one he's now engaged in, which is a much different culture, different atmosphere entirely. He said, but the first one was this. The young man, according to Byron now, made a mistake when he was being interviewed by the pulpit committee and the deacons prior to his being called to that initial church. And they asked him this question. And they asked him this question now. He said, Pastor Shear, how many souls have you led to Christ this past week? Yeah, this past week. And the answer came back, I've never led a soul to Christ in my life. Now you can see where that conversation is going to go. And Byron wisely, and you know, nothing new here, but wisely said, the better question is, how many people have you talked to about Jesus this week? Because the human instrument never leads a soul to Christ. It's the Spirit of God that leads a soul to Christ. I and you being in the way with the gospel seed plant that seed. As to leading, that doesn't happen. So it is a valid question. How many people have you talked to about the Lord this week? Because all we can do essentially is sow the seed at every opportunity. So once the seed is sown, we understand that the gospel, because essentially it is communicated, if it's done faithfully, through the power of the word, as mentioned here in verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then the next verse says, and here's the rub, that links us to Matthew chapter 28. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Now that word revealed is apocalypto, which means to unveil, take the cover off, expose, to reveal, to shine the light on. And what is being revealed here, what is coming to the light here, is the reality of the presence of the righteousness of God that has come through the gospel preaching. And please notice how it's phrased here. It's revealed from, what's the verse say? It's revealed from what? Faith to faith. That has a beginning and an ending. At the beginning, we understand a place like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. That's the beginning of it. That you might mark that as day one of your conversion, when you were saved by the grace of God. Now, it is precisely there where those who wait, their emphasis on the front end of the Great Commission are flawed in their overall philosophy of church growth. The second occurrence of the word faith here in this verse takes us down to the end. You remember what the apostle Paul said when he was a little bit older, coming to the end. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. So from beginning, from Saul of Tarsus, traveling on the Damascus road when he was saved by grace, to the end of his life, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. So from faith to faith, the reality of righteousness possessed in the soul is seen in the perseverance of the individual.